Thank you, Jimmy and Kim. Genesis says, with fear and trembling, Abraham walked up that mountain with his son. I can't imagine what it was like. You can't imagine your only son, the son of promise, the one you had waited for to do that. Of course, Isaiah or Hebrews tells us that he did that believing what we have to believe. You know what that is? That God is the resurrection and the life. That God could raise his son from the dead if he plunged that knife into his son as a living sacrifice. Really amazing when you stop and think the faith that he exhibited. He had to believe what we have to believe in the resurrection, and that God had that power. Well, I'm in the book of Luke tonight if you want to turn there with me. Luke chapter 6. We're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded by Luke. This is the, of course, we're most familiar with the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, but we're looking at the one in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Luke, Luke's record of it, and we're at the end of it as we're looking through some of the parables that Jesus used and he taught. And this one is a very familiar parable for us, and it comes again at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which is really the summary of the Sermon on the Mount. In Headwaters Christian Academy, I'm teaching a class right now on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Sermon on the Mount. And you say, why are you doing that? I mean, what does the Sermon on the Mount have to do with Proverbs and Ecclesiastes? Well, the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are wisdom and folly and the choices people make. And you know, life, L-I-F-E, life centers on that little word, if. If I do this or if I do that. If I take this job or if I take this job, if I marry this person, if I don't marry this person, if I choose this, that's what life is all centered on. Big choices, little choices, right? Directions, paths that we take. And there's only really two choices in life. There's God's way and the other way, right? And every one of us is choosing each day which path we're going to choose. And praise God, he doesn't leave us in the dark. Amen? He gives us wisdom. He gives us light to illumine our path. We can choose. I want to go in this direction or that direction. And the wise man who reverences God, of course, he writes about plenty of that wisdom in Proverbs and also foolishness as well. And choosing the wise path. Moms and dads, we, as he says there in Proverbs chapter 1 through 9, we have the awesome responsibility to pour that truth, that counsel, that wisdom into the hearts of our children. Hey, and listen, grandparents, now I am one of them, I can say that, right? Just because they're out of the nest and now they're raising their own family, we still have influence. And we have a responsibility as well to pour God's truth and give God's truth, God's wisdom, God's counsel to our children and grandchildren, and so that they would choose the wise path. And so embrace that opportunity, because there's either the wise path or the foolish path. Of course, Ecclesiastes, I mean, that's when Solomon, he tested his mind. He tested all the ways that were out there. He chose some foolish things to try out, right? But he didn't lose his senses, because in the end, he came back to the same conclusion that he had when he started and realized, you know what you need to do? Fear the Lord. That's what matters. Don't forget your Creator in the days of your youth. Reverence, fear God. That's, isn't that the first step? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The step of holy fear is the wise path. Well, that's interesting. How's that all related to the Sermon on the Mount? Well, it's interesting in the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gives his sound counsel, and oftentimes there's really a contrast of two ways, decisions you can make in life. And here in chapter 7, well, in chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Matthew's gospel, he contrasts those two ways, two types of trees, two types of individuals that speak, and two types of individuals who hear what is said. And what they do with God's counsel. Now, this is all of us in this room. We all have to decide what we're going to do with what God says. It's a choice. It's an if. If I hear, if I heed, if I hold on to what God says, then that will be the wise path. Now, listen, here's the amazing thing. Our shepherd always leads us down what kinds of paths? Paths of righteousness. The right path. The straight path. You never have to wonder or waver or ask why. He is going to tell us the right thing every time. Praise God. And that thing is going to be a good thing for us. It's going to be something that will be beneficial for our soul, beneficial for our life. We may not see it immediately, but he promises that. And so these precepts and promises that we take to heart and we believe and we obey, it's a right path. What do I do with what God says? Now, if I don't receive it, if I choose not to receive it, and by the way, to decide not to choose is a choice in and of itself too, right? Active faith is what God wants. Going forward in faith, saying, I believe this. I'm going to build my life on this truth. But to reject that is to choose a foolish path, which is what we see in Proverbs. Those two paths contrasted over and over again. The fool, frankly, starts out as a simple man. There are those who know nothing, and there are those who don't want to know anything, and then those who know everything and scoff at God. And you'll progress that way even if you walk through the book of Proverbs. Those who at first aren't really listening, kind of ignorant, and then those who are indifferent ultimately become those who scoff at God and think they know better than him. And that's why, you know, in Hebrews, we're even going to be seeing that over the next several months about the message as we heard last week. Don't drift away. Don't drift away. Your heart will grow dull. And eventually, as it grows dull, it will disobey. And then it will ultimately deny and defy God. That's why listening, hearing what God said is so important. And that's what's summarized right here at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gives his instruction and teaches, and he sums everything up, and he uses a parable as an illustration to help us understand why it's important to hear, heed, and hold on to what God says. And so one of the ways, even tonight, that we can measure this is, what is the last thing I heard God say? What am I doing with it? Am I applying it in my life? Because listen, he gives light to us. He instructs us. And if we're not obedient or don't follow what he gives us with that light, why should he give us any more if we can't handle that first, right? So this is critical for our journey of faith. And by the way, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So our faith isn't a seeing faith, it's a hearing faith. Remember, that's what Jesus told Thomas when he was risen from the dead. And Thomas had told the disciples, hey, listen, I don't believe he's risen until I do what? Until I put my hand in his fingerprints and my hand in his side. I want to see for myself. And when that happened, it was amazing. Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God, I've seen the risen Lord. And Jesus said, I love this part. Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are those who have heard and haven't seen. There's a blessing for us that didn't see but have ears to hear and choose to believe what God says. Well, what does God say? Well, that's the Sermon on the Mount, the basic teaching, the basic instruction of what it means to be a kingdom citizen, how you and I as his disciples should live our life. And Jesus, of course, takes much of the Old Testament and gives it a fuller meaning, a fuller understanding. He doesn't come to abolish it, to get rid of it. He came to fulfill it. He came to take the word of God and show us what it looks like, to help us understand that, listen, it's not just the actions. The motives oftentimes behind the actions are equally important, and certain sins that people commit or don't commit. And so he gave a greater and fuller understanding. He talked about religious practices, of course, the danger of practicing your piety before men, living your life and your giving and your praying, and the things we do in worship, doing it on a parade and in a show, even fasting before men, for the applause of individuals, failing to know that, listen, it's the Father in heaven who sees in secret, right? And knows what's really going on in our hearts. And he rewards us for that. He gives a bunch of instruction as far as the way we should live our lives and not judging others. And of course, being careful about casting our pearls before swine. That takes discernment, right? Because if you're not supposed to throw your pearls before swine, you got to be able to identify the swine, right? So it's not that we're judging individuals. We're not condemning them. We allow God to take care of all that. But we do have to be discerning in life. Well, here in this section, Luke chapter 6, I just want to look at the conclusion in verses 46 through 49 and just share with you and have us think for just a few moments about, you know, the building project that we're working on. I don't know if y'all have noticed, there's homes going up all over the place. It's crazy, isn't it? And you better be a wise builder, even in that, and consider the cost when you build. I mean, there's a whole group of homes over here on Scott's Creek, or, you know, on Stamey Farm Road here, like just down the road, right, where you know, there's some homes completed and some that aren't. They've not been completed for a year and a half now or so. They went bankrupt in doing it, you know. So you better count the cost when you build projects, right? Consider that. Jesus gave a parable on that too. Well, this one isn't about, you know, considering the cost of building. It's about the type of house that you build. And the building isn't literally a building, right? With, you know, a concrete floor or piers or, you know, two stories, three stories. He's talking about our life, the life you and I are building. And so in this room right now, all of us, just imagine all of us had little yellow hats on. Wouldn't that be funny? Well, we do. We all, Bob the Builder hats, you know what I'm talking about, right? We all are building something. Everybody in this room, you are building a house of worship. You're building a house of worship. You're worshiping something in your life. Our little ones that we're raising, they're building houses of worship. Hopefully we're helping them in that process, showing them how to build in the right way. Listen, even adults, you say, well, I'm done. Well, maybe yours is a fixer-up project still. Amen? We're all building, and realize that tonight. And man is a great builder. We love to build things. I mean, we learn that as a young kid, whether it's Legos or nursery block, the little blocks in nursery. We're always building, but what we need to realize is we need to make sure we build in the right way. And by the way, if you're going to be a good builder, now I'm not an actual, you know, I don't have a contractor's license. My father-in-law does. And he did a lot of, you know, work to pass that exam, that state exam. But I do know this about building, especially since we're trying to build a warehouse. Brother Donnie helps me tremendously to understand these things. But to build, you've got to have plans that are approved, right? You got to have the right materials. Otherwise, the building's not going to stay up there long. You've got to follow those plans and construct it in that way and with all the right materials. And these things, these elements are what we see even here in this section of Luke chapter 6. So hear the word of the Lord tonight in the conclusion of what he says here at the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's a little different than over in Matthew's gospel. In some ways, the illustration, the way he speaks of it. Listen to how he says it. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And here's the parable. Here's the picture. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Father, speak to us tonight. Lord, help us all realize we are building a house of worship. Hopefully to worship you, not ourselves, not some substance, not some idol. God, help us to be a true good builder tonight. Lord, help us to hear and heed what you say. Help us to hold on to it, treasure it, Lord, so that we build such that when the storm does come and the stream does rise, the house stands. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as well to inspire the next generation to do likewise so that they build on solid rock. We love you and we praise you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the wise man says for us that beginning to build, Jesus says that there's counsel that is given. Remember, the whole section concludes in this way. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? I mean, that's the backdrop for the parable, right? God speaks. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. Or Jesus has given this long sermon, and people confess, oh, Lord, Lord. And he says, wait, time out. Don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say. In fact, it's over in Matthew's gospel, it's even scarier the way it's presented there, because it says that in the judgment, they will approach him and say, hey, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, I didn't know you. But we did this in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we served you in these ways. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I didn't know you. I mean, that's a scary thing to think. How do we know someone knows the Lord? What's the fruit of that? I mean, that's the section right before this, immediately in verses 43 through 45. He talks about trees that bear fruit, and a tree is known by its fruit. Good trees don't bear bad fruit, and bad trees don't bear good fruit. A tree is known by its fruit, and men do not gather figs from thorns, nor they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So you can assess the heart by looking at the fruit. What is coming out of the life? Jesus says, listen, don't say, Lord, Lord, when you're not doing what I tell you to do, when you are inconsistent or disobedient or have no regard for what I have to say. Be like the one who embraces my counsel. Some spurn the counsel of God. We call them scoffers over in the book of Proverbs. That's why there's a picture there, and there's a picture even there about a wise man building a house. And through wisdom, it says in Proverbs 28, 4 and 5, that through wisdom, or 24, 3 and 4, that a house, through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established, and with knowledge, its rooms are filled with pleasant and precious riches or treasures. The most important thing is the foundation, right? I mean, that is essential to any sound construction. You better make sure the foundation is sound before you start building up. And you know, as they say, make sure the forms are straight before you pour the concrete, right? Because you don't want to have to redig and reestablish a foundation. Now, what's the foundation that Jesus is saying here? It's the counsel of God. It's the Word of God. I have to have God's Word. And praise the Lord, He speaks that to us. I mean, God is there and He's not silent. He's speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we inclining our ear to hear what He has to say? Now, many in the book of Proverbs, it says, you know, of course, there's those who... There's those who don't want to know anything, the simple man and the foolish man. But then there's the scoffer, right? They know everything, so they have no regard for what God has to say. And I always love teaching the students what that word is. It's one of my favorite Hebrew words, buzz, right? And really the word is a picture the way you would say it in the Hebrew language. It's a that's what they say to God. I don't want to hear that. Now, how many times have we done that? Someone has given us the counsel of the Word of God, and we think we know better, and we say, I ain't going to listen to that. I'm going to do my own thing. That's not wise. The wise man doesn't say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. The wise man hears that. It appreciates what God says. It has God's Word. It listens to God's Word. It inclines its ear. By the way, that's what it says if you want to write in the margin of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 2. It says over there in Proverbs chapter 2 how to have a Bible study, what it looks like when you really do have an ear, a heart that's inclined to hear what God has to say. I mean, you have to value the Word of God. You have to treasure it. You have to yearn to hear it. You have to come with an expectation. God has something to say to me. When you and I open the Word of God, we should open it and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear what you have to say. It's got to be a valuable pursuit. It's of more value than silver and gold or precious treasures. I mean, you stop and think about what individuals are willing to do just to get some of this stuff that we put on our fingers, digging in the dirt. To get it out of the ground. That's the same way we should be with the Word of God, digging in it. I want to hear what God has to say. I need this for my life. And then when you hear it, you know, you say, well, I don't understand it. And it's interesting over there in Proverbs chapter 2, it'll say, if we lift up our voice, if we ask of Him, cry out for understanding. In other words, the way we learn in God's school and the way we understand His counsel is we get down on our knees and we say, God, I'm pretty dense. Could you help me right here? Could you help me in understand this? Could you help my heart? And if my heart is willing to receive, if I have what wisdom is, a hearing heart, a heart that'll hear what God has to say, then that Word will come into our life. And that Word is what establishes the foundation for us. It's the counsel that we need. And that counsel, when we heed it. Notice He said, why do you come to me and ask for this when you don't do what I say? But the one who does come to me and hears my sayings and does them. This is the major difference, right? Do I put in action what I hear God say? Remember last week on Sunday morning when I was talking about the two oars that help us in our boat so that we don't drift in life away from hearing God's word and miss out what he's teaching us. Our orthodoxy, you got to know the truth, right? But you also have to have orthopraxy. You have to put that into practice. And when we row those oars, right? Or if you like canoes and you got a double paddle, right? And you're canoeing, you got to paddle with both of them. If you only got one, you're going to do what? Go in a circle, right? You don't want to do that in life. If you do neither, you're just going to drift away, and ultimately your heart will become dull towards what God has to say. So the wise man is saying, the wise man is the one who hears what God says. It listens, it appreciates the counsel of God, and does something with it. It applies it in its life. I've heard a truth from God. I'm going to practice this one today. And the amazing thing is the way God's word works is, as we receive that light and put it into practice, he gives us more light and more light and more light. And then as we do that, we should be shining brightly as those who have heard and heed what God says. Now, that's the counsel that he gives. Do I embrace what God says? I hear his sayings and I do them. If I do that, then here's the construction, and you see the two differences here. One individual is the man who builds his house, digs deep, and lays the foundation on the rock. The individual who doesn't hear and heed and do what God says is like the man who builds his house on the earth without a foundation. Now, the picture here, we often think about, you know, one builds his house on the rock and one on the sand. This is a little different. The picture might be there in the same location. Right? One came and he dug and he dug and he dug till he got down to the bedrock. I mean, we saw the pictures this morning of some of the, you know, what the river, the water swept away. And you can see some of that solid foundation, that bedrock that's there. All the loose soil just kind of, you know, was taken away with the massive power of water. It was just swept away. And what was left? That solid rock. Now, the wise man who embraces the counsel of God. So tonight, okay, if I'm willing to embrace what God has to say, then I'm going to be like this individual, and I put it into practice. I'm like the one who digs and digs and digs and digs and digs. I found rock. I found some solid rock, and I'm going to build from there up. That's what we want to do. That's the construction that's required. That's by wisdom a house is built. You better lay that foundation on solid rock. Now, there's one solid rock for us. He's the cornerstone, right? That we build our life on. It's a sure stone, a sure rock for us, Jesus. And so we build our house of worship. We build him. He's the cornerstone. The cornerstone's essential in any construction project, right? It's essential. It helps things be on square. It helps to hold that stability. You better be on rock. Amen? Now, if you don't listen to the counsel and don't put it into practice, then the construction that takes place because of your rejection of the counsel of God is like the one who heard it and did nothing. And what did he do? He built his house on the earth without a foundation. In other words, he didn't dig deep to get down to the rock. He said, I'll just build it right here on top. And sure, at for a moment, it was cheaper, I'm sure, right? It was a lot less. It was a lot easier to build that way as well. He didn't have to put as much work into it. But no matter how ornate his temple may be that he built there, his celestial palace that he builds or thinks it's his kingdom on earth, right? No, he builds, and as a result of that construction, when calamity comes, what happens? Goes flat. Now, it's interesting here. It says over in Matthew's gospel, when the storms come, right? That the waters rise and the winds beat against the house. Here's just a picture of a river, a stream, right? It says a stream that beats vehemently against the house. A flood that rises up and beats vehemently against it. I mean, we've seen that up in the mountains, right? The effects of that. The power of water. The power of water to just sweep away buildings and sweep away cars and sweep away all kinds of things. I mean, we have that vivid imagery just in our minds from what we've seen recently. That's the picture for us of the calamity that comes and what happens to the houses that aren't built on solid rock, that didn't heed the counsel and build their construction on the stable, solid rock. They're swept away. They're gone. Immediately it falls, and the ruin of that house is great. But the one that's built on solid rock, it stands. I mean, the river comes and it pushes against it and it shakes it. But even as it's shaken, that house is founded upon the rock. And so it has security in the midst of that. In other words, listen, when trials come our way, and they come, the river rises. And as it swells and it pushes against the walls of our lives, something's going to happen to us. Either we're going to stand firm because we've built on the solid rock of Christ and built our life on what he says, or we're going to be swept away. That's the only two options. And the contrast is quite clear. The contrast in the stability of the home is quite clear. The contrast in the security of the home is quite clear. It's the same calamity. It's the same soil. And they both heard the same counsel. It's what you do with it that matters. What do I do with what God is saying to me tonight? What is the inclination of my heart when God speaks? In the margin of your Bible, you could write Proverbs 13, 13. It's one of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs 13, 13. It's interesting what Solomon says there about building projects and its relationship even to the word of the Lord. Because Proverbs 13, 13 really highlights what Jesus is saying. He who despises the word, that great Hebrew word, he who despises the word, what God says, will be destroyed. Other translations say will be in debt to it. Which one is it? Yes, both. When God speaks, that's all that matters, y'all. And we're responsible, accountable for whatever God says, whatever we hear. You say, well, what if someone hasn't heard the light of the word? Well, they've heard the light of creation, and they are responsible for it. Romans chapter 1. God is there, and he is not silent. The heavens declare the glory of God. They're speaking. The heavens tell us that there's an Almighty out there. It doesn't tell us his name, but it tells us he's Almighty. And he's an amazing creator. And if we'll embrace that light, I'm pretty certain he'll give us more light, because that's just the nature of our God. Now, if I despise the word, the wise man says, then I'll be destroyed. I'll be in debt to that word. My life will be destroyed. And the amazing thing is God speaks in a variety of ways, but I'm accountable and responsible for every word that I hear, wherever I might hear it, whether that's in creation, whether that's in the canon, whether that's in Christ. I am responsible for that word that comes from God. But the one who fears the commandment, see, here's the contrast. I can either despise it, I know better than God. I know what to do. I don't need to listen to that counsel. That's one choice. Or I can choose to fear it, to reverence it. What is fearing the Lord? What is reverencing? It's a heart that hears, a heart that receives, a heart that holds on to what God says. And the contrast is quite different, not just in our inclination towards or our intent towards the word and what we do with it, but the ultimate consequence of it. One is destroyed. The other, it says, those who fear the commandment will be rewarded. Be rewarded in what way? Well, there's a reward by just obeying the Lord. Sometimes, listen, do your kids ever ask you ask them to do something, say, what will I get out of it? Don't you love that, right? And sometimes you have to remind them it's not just a tangible reward that we hold in our hands immediately. The reward sometimes is the way we're shaped and molded, what we become from the experience as we obey what God says. And that's really what God is trying to do. The reward is himself becoming more like him and enjoying the fullness of him and the fullness of life that he has designed us for. Now, he does have rewards too. He does reward us. There are blessings and there are cursings, right? In fact, that's what Moses did when he led God's people through the wilderness. They came and he pronounced the blessings and the cursings there on the mountains before, right? Choose which way for you. There's only two paths. I can choose the path of blessing, a heart that wants to hear. I can choose the path of cursing. Those are the hearts that don't want to hear. Now, the amazing thing is God gives everybody that choice. It's your choice. What are you going to do with it? And really, again, that's what life is, right? Life centers on if I choose this, if I choose that. Sometimes we look back and we say, man, I really made a, an unwise choice. Now, here's the amazing thing. You know what you can do with that? You can make the wise choice to say, God, I hear there's grace and mercy with you. I hear that, Lord, you can take my mess and make something out of it if I'll give it to you. Wow, what an amazing God. What an invitation to us to say, no, I want to experience that. It's never too late. As long as you and I have air, have life, as long as we have breath, we can voice that prayer to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Instruct me, guide me, direct me. I mean, I'm grateful. I mean, I didn't have someone that really poured God's word into me when I was growing up and until I was about 12 years old. And I'm grateful for those that came alongside that spilled God's word, poured God's word into my life that weren't even my folks. Praise God for those individuals, right? That come alongside you, that have come alongside you, come alongside our kids and speaking to their lives as well. As I like to say, I want as many people speaking this truth into my kids' ears as I am, right? So they hear that voice, not mine, not theirs, but God's. That hear that counsel, that hear that word. This is how you should build your life. This is sound counsel that will give you a sound foundation, which will ensure when the calamity comes, when the stream rises, when it becomes a flood, that when the flood rises and it beats vehemently against the house, you find yourself immovable because you're built on the solid rock. You've dug deep and you've poured the footings and you're secure. That's how God, Jesus ends this Sermon on the Mount. This is what he talks about, the deeper life that we need to have. And it's a deeper life in that we're building deeper in the ground and building on that solid rock. You go down there to Charlotte and see those great big towers, those big skyscrapers. In order for them to go way up, they have to go way down and find solid rock, bedrock. Because when the wind comes, you can feel it if you go up on the Bank of America building way on up there. I mean, you can feel that thing swaying. Is this thing going to be okay? I mean, it's scary sometimes when you get in a windstorm. But you know what? They've gone way down and found the solid rock. And that's what you and I need to do in life. How do we do that? Well, every time that we come to worship, every time we come to Sunday school, or if you're in a Bible study class, or even your own quiet time, this is the healthy exercise. Proverbs chapter 2, how do I study my Bible? How do I incline my ear to hear what God has to say? How do I treasure what God has to say? How do I apply myself, give everything I have to acquire it, because I realize the value of it? How do I cry out and lift up my voice? I just don't understand. Help me to understand. You know, Lord, I've studied the Bible a lot, and there's a lot of things I still wrestle with in the Word of God. But this I know, He's faithful and He's true. He'll never lie to me. There's another one out there. He'll lie to you. He's the father of lies. Our God will never lie. Our God, every promise is yea and amen in Him. He's faithful to His Word. And so I just have to choose. I'm going to choose to believe what you say. Even when the world says differently, this is the hardest thing for our kids sometimes, right? Because the peers say differently. They are, that church thing. Who wants to believe that, right? It's a challenge to take a stand and to say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. I'm going to apply it in my life. And as we do that, we understand the parable that Jesus has given us so that we can listen, not just hear it, but apply it or obey it. That's the two steps of the Christian walk. It's the great Christian hymn, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. What is trust? I'm exercising faith. I'm believing God is who He says He is. I believe God will do what He says He will do. I believe it's yea and amen. Trust and obey. So now it's time to put it into practice. And that's what we need to do. So this week, put this into practice. Dig deep, church. Dig deep. Find the solid rock. Have a heart that has a disposition to hear what God has to say, that inclines to hear what God has to say, that wants to receive the reward that God has for us. Ultimately, it's Him, but there's also blessings that He has for you and for me if we'll just choose to apply what He says. Listen, that's how we parent our kids. It's how we relate to our spouses. It's how we treat the world around us. It's how we live out our life. It's the fruit that comes from hearts that love him and love what he has to say. So let's be that type of people tonight. Will you pray with me? Father, help us to guard against carelessly hearing what you say, not inclining our ear to what you say. God, give us an earnestness that I must hear God speak. I want to hear what God has to say. I choose to believe that his word can transform our lives. Lord, I pray that your spirit would woo us, Lord, with love, woo us with truth and incline us. Help us to understand the words that you have spoken to us, Lord. Help us to understand the truth that can transform our lives. Help us to see that borne out, Lord, as we obey you and take steps of obedience and steps of faith each and every day. Lord, for those who may be experiencing a rising tide right now and the water is pushing against them, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would rest on the solid rock of Christ, that they would build their life on his word, and that, Lord, they would experience deliverance, Lord, from this storm of life. And, Lord, I pray that as they do that, that they would bear witness to others that through the storm, there was one anchor that held them firm. And it was the solid rock of Christ. Thank you, Lord, what we just sang. You will never forsake those who've built their life on your solid rock. Thank you for that promise tonight. May we be such a people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.